No, that's out. Isn't it?
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So hopefully, can everyone hear me okay?
Yeah.
Hopefully you're still all feeling nice and fluffy after the presentations. As Charles says, it does dip a bit, but I'll do my best. So my name's Kurt Wilson. I'm a lecturer at the University of Manchester at the medical school, and I also work part-time as a GP. My supervisors, Sue Spear and Sarah Collins, I know will be familiar to a lot of you, they've been looking after me as I've done my thesis, looking at talk about medicines, conversations and consultations between GPs and patients. I know a well-described process in CA literature, but I wanted to focus particularly on talk about medicines as part of that consultation. So, prescription of medicines is exceedingly common. There are about a billion prescriptions for medicines written each year in English primary care. Taking of prescribed medicines is very common again. About half of all men and women take at least one medicine each week. So you won't be surprised to hear that there's lots of guidance provided to doctors about how we might go about reviewing medicines with patients so that we can optimise their treatments, whatever that's supposed to mean. We can come into that in a minute. And there's also something else I want to touch on in this talk, and that's something about how this information that's available to patients, their understanding, their perspectives, their experiences of taking medicines, and that also which is available to doctors, the information that's present on the electronic patient record, are used within the conversations, how the authorities of each sort of information source are addressed by the participants. So, just to move on here, in the past, paper records were used a lot to document medicines and to write prescriptions. However, as we all know from our own visits from our GPs now, the electronic patient record is used to hold all the information about prescribed medicines and treatment plans and the like, and also to print and sometimes electronically transfer prescriptions. So it's a useful part of the GP's equipment available to them, but it can be quite intrusive on conversations, I think I'll show you. I did touch on the fact that there's lots of guidance out there, and I think probably the most important guidance relevant to this area is this idea that we need to optimise medicines, brought to us by the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. So NICE, that you'll hear about a lot on the telly and the radio, talk about medicines review as part of this optimization process. But what I wanted to do was look at how the guidance, which is taking a patient-centered approach to provide safe and effective medicines use, ensuring people obtain the best possible outcomes from their medicines, sharing decision-making, and also seeking the best evidence about care while still taking into account individual patient needs, preferences, and values. How does that all translate into conversation in between patients and GPs during consultation? And how is the electronic record also used? Just before I show you some of my data, there's obviously lots of interesting CA research out there. And I won't go through all this now, but I thought I'd put a slide up there. One thing I just do want to highlight, though, is I'll be talking about the patient embodied and the patient inscribed in the rest of my data in my talk. So I think this is really important terminology brought in by Robinson, talking about the patient in person in front of you in the consultation and the patient inscribed. And Robinson said that patients are visible both in their own bodies and in entries in their records. So doctors shift their gaze to patients and then to the records, and they're not simply engaging or disengaging with the patients. More accurately, they're shifting their engagement from patients embodied to patient inscribed. So my data was taken from 5 primary care practices, 78 consultations, about 16 and a half hours of consultations with 8 different GPs. I used video cameras placed at 2 different angles, and this really allowed me to see, to record conversation, but also to have some sense of gaze and body position during the consultations. So first of all, I'd just like to demonstrate one sort of practice that I observed repeatedly in the consultations that we recorded. And this was how the general practitioners attended to the patient inscribed as a sort of a primary source of information, as the authority in the consultation room. So I've got lots of data, but I've just picked out a few clips just to show you. So you've got some, have you got the handouts there? So this is clip one, and I'll play it through and we'll have a look. So here we can see, before I play it, I'll just point out that line seven, the GP here labels the upcoming activity as a medication review.
I happen to have any more prescriptions until I see the doctor.
So that's called the medication review, right? So we'll do that today. No problem. You have a seat. Let me just have a look at what you're taking here.
So here we can see the doctor start the conversation with the patient and then actually turns his body home position towards the camera, towards the computer, and also his gaze is fixed on the computer there. And that's how he's going to find out what the patient is taking, yeah? Let's look at what you will be taking, yeah, in line 11 there. I'll go to later on in that consultation and we'll see how this practice continues throughout the consultation. So I've gone on a bit. This is the doctor asking talking to the patient about her medicines to review them. So this is in your clips here.
And then you've got some painkillers there, paracetamol that you take.
Yes.
And is that for arthritis?
It is for arthritis, so yes it is.
And then I think you've got one aspirin a day, haven't you? Yeah?
Yes.
So I think we can see here, in terms of body position and gaze, the doctor's clearly focusing on the electronic record. And then in terms of the question design, line 84 and 85, you can see the doctor using a polar declarative, and a declarative with a tag at 93 and 94. And we know from CA research that such question design seeker confirmation as a preferred response. So I saw polar declaratives being used in this fashion in the data, with the gaze of the doctor focusing on the electronic record. And I thought that this practice really placed the patient inscribed in the clinical record as dominant in the proceedings, with the patient embodied acting as a reference source to provide confirmation of data within their electronic record. So if we just look at this picture here, you can see what there. And then you've got some painkillers there, paracetamol that you take. That's seeking a yes answer with the patient, quite peripheral, I felt, to the proceedings there. Again, we can see just another example of another doctor, again, focusing on the electronic record as part of her review of the medicines, and this introduced some disfluency and some pausing into the consultation.
Just one more chatty. Right, all
So I think again we can see that the doctor's looking at the electronic record is ported away from the patient there and is using her questioning to seek some confirmation of the data that she's reading on the electronic record there. Let's have another look at another one. So here's another example. The doctor's once more asking the patient embodied to confirm information you can see in the electronic record. So the patient places a request for her repeat prescription.
Can I have a repeat prescription?
I want it, please. Let me run through this. Loperamide.
So I've put this one in because it was a little bit different, this one. The doctor's obviously looking for a confirmation for that loperamide. Or at least silence, he's not looking for further sort of conversation with the patient. The patient actually interjects here, and I think there's a little bit of resistance from the patient, and she asks her own questions. Let's see how this pans out.
Loperamide.
Do you do any stronger ones than 2 mg? How many can I take a day of them? Do you know how many can I take a day of them?
How many can I take a day
of them?
Yeah, 8 is the tops.
Oh, right, all right then.
I thought this was interesting. It shows that patients do have questions about their medicines. There are things that they want to know, but she had to do some work there, really, to bring that into the conversation. And I suppose The reason why I put this one in is I wanted to see what happened then. Maybe this would prompt the doctor to talk about her other medicines, because the lady was on a number of treatments. However, let's see what happened following this.
Put on my codeine, omeprazole, propranolol.
Yeah.
Atorvastatin, aripiprazole, tramadol. Is it?
Yeah.
And that really was it. There's 32 seconds of pause now, as the doctor's just sat there. I won't bore you with a full 32, but I thought I'd leave it on for a good time to show you. I wasn't joking, it's crazy. So yeah, they sat for a long time like that. So, I think the doctor's returning his talk, seeking confirmation of the medicines listed on the electronic record. His turn at line 41 with raising tone signals a prelude to character as a pre-closure, and then the patient obliges with confirmation. We can see from the recording that really was it. So it's just a picture showing you, looking at the record there. Now I want to show you a different practice or pattern that I saw in the data as well. Sometimes doctors seem to focus on the patient embodied, the patient in front of them on in the consultation, and use the electronic record as a secondary source of information. And I think this was more useful in terms of providing a different slot for patients to respond in. So here's one example here where at least we're looking at a difference in the doctor's home position and his gaze. Let's see how this one goes. So this is a patient that's, this is just after openings of consultations, and the patient's told him that he needs some more medicines.
So are you taking anything at the moment? I'm still taking on search for my, what is it, search for my, I'm still taking, I'm trying a lot. On my anxiety. Yeah. And then approximate and stuff, you just take one that would need. Oh, yeah, that's going to need it. Might not make out, right? So, yeah.
Let's put that one on once more. So I want to just focus on the fact that the doctor's positioning himself opposite the patient. He's still talking his neck to look over to the electronic record as a point of reference as the patient speaks. But I think the question at line one passes speakership to the patient, and it's not seeking confirmation of a particular medicine listed on the patient's record. It's a more open design of question. Again, on line four, you've got a declarative in combination with the doctor's glancing to the screen. I think this is doing something else. This is showing some active listening and also confirming what the patient embodied is telling him with the patient inscribed, not the other way around.
So are you taking anything at the moment? I'm still taking on search for my, what is it, search for my, I'm still taking, I'm trying a lot for my anxiety. Yeah. And then approximate and stuff, you just take one that would need. Oh, yeah, that's going to need it. Might not make out, right? So, yeah.
So, do you think the doctor uses the electronic record to prompt and talk about a medicine that the patient doesn't mention there, but it's the patient that starts talking about his medicines on that occasion? So, here's another example of the doctor focusing more on the patient embodied. On this occasion, I've forgotten her name. Carrie mentioned earlier on. This was a final concern brought up at a pre-closure sequence. The doctor said, "Oh, is there anything else today?" And let's just see. So the patient prompted a medicines review on this occasion. Let's see how the doctor dealt with it.
I wonder if it's worth doing the clarithromycin review now as well, because I know that's coming up while I'm here.
How's it going?
It's really good today, of course. It's perfect.
That's the way it is.
So I might book in to see you every week.
It's just
sorts itself out.
So the patient that is talking about a medicine she uses for her skin, and she's very pleased with the result. You see the doctor just right at the end of there just gestures to her face, and that's what she's gesturing at. So we can see that the doctor uses a keyword question, opens up the floor to the patient to talk about her medicines, and it's not a focus question, what dose of this are you on, you're on 250. It's a more open design so the patient can talk about her medicine on their own terms, really, their own perspective. And it's funny, actually, because the doctor gets a bit distracted in the next part of the clip that I'll show you, but the patient now has the has speakership and carries on talking. So the doctor actually starts looking at the computer, which is a bit naughty, but there you go. Let's have a look.
I don't know, it seems to be hormonal.
That's it.
So it just kind of comes and goes depending on the cycle. It was bad a couple of weeks ago, but now it's totally cleared up. I don't know if it's like acetylene or erythromycin. Wonder if it's worth carrying on for a tiny bit longer for erythromycin, just seeing how that works.
So the doctor does get distracted by the electronic record and does a little bit of typing, but the patient continues to talk about her medicines and also suggests a route forward with in terms of treatment. It's prefaced, but she's taking some control of what she wants to happen with her medicines and being involved in that review, I feel. And here the doctor uses the clinical record, I think, in a more appropriate fashion. The patient makes a suggestion of how long she's been taking her medicine, and they use that equipment to confirm that treatment length, because that would be easily viewable on the electronic record. It doesn't rely on either of their memories, really.
Yeah, because only been a couple of months around.
Yeah, it's probably not even.
It's only just over a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable.
So, again, I think it's interesting that the doctor is clarifying why she's using the electronic record there. Yeah, let's see. Let's use this piece of equipment which will tell us exactly how long you've been prescribed this medicine. But it's not dominating the conversation. And the last clip that I'll just show you now, and I thought this was a really nice example of the doctor really focusing on the patient embodied rather than the patient inscribed, although there is reference to the electronic record. And I really like the question design in here and the home position. Let's have a look. So this is a patient, this is at the start of the consultation, the patient's just come in and just sat down. And the doctor's the lady in the right there.
Basically what it is, every time I come from a prescription now, because I'm on Sertraline.
Oh yeah.
So every time I come now, it's always on a request form saying I must book an appointment with a doctor to say they want a like a review sort of thing. So that, basically that's what it is.
Okay. So you're on the Sertraline.
So first of all we can see that they're nicely facing each other. The electronic record is visible to both of them, but it's not the main focus of either of their gazes. And the doctor uses a declarative there, but it's mirroring what the patient's already told her. So basically, I come from my prescription now because I'm on sertraline. Oh, so you're on sertraline. So she can see that, she's heard that from the patient. It's representing active listening, but it's also something she'd be able to see on the computer. I'll just show you how this now pans out.
So you're on the sertraline.
Yeah.
I've just had a look at your notes, actually. You've been on it for just over a year,
have you?
How are you?
So I think that was a really nice sequence there. The patient's, she's made reference to the fact that she's looked at the electronic record, but it's not the main focus of the conversation. And then she's opening the floor and giving speakership to the patient to talk about how he is. She's not asking for something specific about you're on 50 milligrams of sertraline, you're 100 milligrams, you want some more, you had it last week. This is a very sort of, it's a keyword question to open the floor to the patient and let them talk about things. And I think this just shows us that this can really help us reveal some interesting and useful patient perspectives, which help us provide better care for patients. Let's see what happens. So she just said, Anne, how are you?
Me, in myself, I've never been better.
Okay.
That's why I want to ask and see if I can stay on these.
Do you feel that they
I think, because if I am, what I'm afraid of is if I come off them, I'll start dipping again.
Okay.
And it's happened before in the past.
So sertraline's antidepressant medicine. And so he's very concerned that he stays on that medicine to avoid a recurrence of his depression. And that's something that he's been given space, he's been given a slot to talk about his medicines in, his, in the way he wants to, and he's been able to reveal that to the doctor, and then they can discuss it further. So I think overall we've got an interesting situation in modern clinical practice where we have participants in the consultation, including sometimes the electronic patient record. It's obviously an important information source containing lots of detail about medicines within, some of which unfortunately may be completely incorrect in terms of dose or whatever, or type of medicine, etc. It doesn't hold information about patients' perspectives, their own ideas, concerns, expectations, their own wishes in terms of their treatment. And I think it's important that we look at doctors' home position, gaze and question design to afford the best opportunities for patients to take part in talk about medicines as they wish to. So medicines review is an important part of medicines optimization. We've got this national drive to offer a person-centered approach to share decision making and to take into account needs, preferences and values of individual patients. I think that body posture and gaze during the review of medicines really can impact on how they play out. And I saw that polar declaratives can be used to seek confirmation of the patient record or as demonstration of active listening. And keyword or open question design can be used to provide slots for patients to talk about medicines in the way they want more freely. So I think they're my conclusions, that I saw that GPs may focus on the patient described or the patient embodied. Question designs could constrain slots for patient contribution. We've talked about declaratives and how they can be used in different ways. And the authority afforded to information within the electronic record can be demonstrated through recording of these consultations and looking at talk, gaze and body posture of the doctor.
Thank you. Super. Some time for questions, thoughts, observations. Yes, Steve.
Thanks very much for that. There's a lot of experts in this room who know more than me, so I'm being quite cautious about what I say here. Someone's going to count it correctly. But what strikes me as interesting is that, you know, you take a version of the embodied in the medical records of the patient as the third in the triadic relationship, rather than looking at it as a text. In the current sort of way in which patient empowerment is being played out, as the patient has ownership of their records, the design and layout and accessibility of their embodied self in a textual format is being kept from them in that environment. You know, they can't see, they have no access to the record. So while their embodied self is presentable to them in a face-to-face relationship, if we take that version of an embodied record of themselves, they are being dis-something. Well, I wouldn't say to say what the dis is, but certainly disempowered about the relationship to their record as they have it. And in the wider sense of that has so there's that, just a little thing I said, that if we expect patients to be in charge of their medical records, but they're never taught and informed about what those records constitute or would even recognize them if they were put in front of their face because they can't see them, is that a problem when we're going to start asking them about questions about whether they want other people to have access to their records when they don't even know what them, if it's an embodied version of themselves, and then, you know, access to another version of themselves.
So I'm glad you've raised that. That's exactly what I raised at the end of my chapter in my MD about this, about review medicines and talk about medicine. And it's really good because I think we're moving from patient inscribed to patient digitized. Mm-hmm. Well, that, you know, and we know already, so in the US, there's lots of work already on offering patients free access and contribution to their electronic records. So not just only being able to read everything freely on your iPhone or whatever, but being able to contribute to that record of oneself. And then, you know, so we're going to have a situation where patients are going to come in with their own mixed focuses, aren't they, during the consultation, where they're going to look at, where we're going to be able to look at our, I'm going to be a patient, I'm going to be able to look at my electronic record on my phone, and I'm still going to be trying to host a conversation with the GP. I think it's really, really, a really complex area about how one's represented in the digital environment and how the digital self can impart on and also cause imposition in conversation between patient and patient.
Yes, Lucas.
So what I think would be very useful about is to compare it with secondary care, because I noticed in secondary care, clinicians will often actually go through a list of patients at their own list, and clinicians have a list of all the medication, and they check, what do you have on your list, what do I have on my list, to compare the patient records with what they're actually taking. At the same time, clinicians will, in some cases at least, consistently ask, so how have you felt since we started you on medicine X, or how have you been, like, they always ask these questions, so it seems that at least in secondary care, where patients maybe have more medications, are more used to their condition, I don't know, but that they are more treated as empowered and they are more self-assertive about their medication, so it might be very interesting to compare primary to secondary care in that sense.
So I think you're talking about this is the mixed picture. So there's something about medicine's reconciliation, reconciling differences between information sources, be that the patient or the GP record versus the hospital record versus the one from the pharmacy, and to make sure that prescribing is safe and effective, we don't put patients at danger, then we have to reconcile differences between information sources so we get the most optimal treatment. But then there's that's part of the NICE guidance, it's a separate little box there. But then there's medicine's review, and what we mean about that. Are we simply trying to review information provided by the patient against that we can see in front of us? Or are we trying to offer an opportunity for conversation about treatments? And I think we're trying to do the latter. And I think it's important to provide patients with an opportunity for speakership and to talk on their own terms about the medicines. Yeah.
Yes.
Did you notice, I was interested in the medications that the patients were talking about, and I wondered if there was any difference in the embodied or inscribed nature of the communication based on what the medications were. I suppose I was developing a hypothesis that perhaps if it was a mental health consultation, it might be more embodied, and if it was something else, it might be less.
I think the only, I didn't notice that difference, but I think it's because, for example, you've talked about antidepressant medicines, maybe up to sort of 1 in 4 patients in general practice have prescribed them. So it's so common. It's really, really common. So I think it becomes hard to dissect out that as a separate population. It's really, really common. So I think it's one of these areas, mental health is one of these areas that's clearly got a lot of stigma to it. It's really badly dealt with in society. But as a GP, it's something I deal with. Probably more than 1 in 5 of my consultations. Probably more than that, yeah.
Oh, we're finishing up. Perhaps Deborah can just start. Yeah. Yes, Catherine.
I was curious, I mean, it's really interesting, nice distinction, the focus on the patient's inscribed versus patient's embodied. And I wondered about extract one, because when you look at the design of the term, if you were just looking at the text, you'd say that the focus is clearly on the patient's embodied, because it's you and theirs, so it's second person address, and the reference to the patient record is using a distal reference, so kind of moving it further away, but the body talk is to the computer. So I wondered, is it kind of a pattern that the body position actually tends to override the term design?
I think that's why I was really keen to put that in about gaze and body position, because that really struck me, and I think it does it exactly. It's what we've been talking about at lunch as well, why it's really important to have, I think, video recordings if you can, rather than audio, because you can find out so much more about how the conversation plays out. And I do think, if you just looked at the terminology there in the language, then you might, if you just heard the audio, might think that was quite sort of focused on the patient embodied, but it wasn't really.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you once again, Kirk.
Thank you.